Hello, and welcome to another edition of Tag Talks, where we talk awesome HR topics for the Army. And today is the same. We're going to have a great session, really talking about voting and postal. We're in 2024, and we're headed towards a big presidential election, but there's also other elections this year. And so today we have two of our very best sitting in TAG that are here to talk about our postal plan and our voting plans for 2024 leading up to the big elections in November. So, of course, welcome back, Rachel Gilman. She's been on before, but you're back today. Awesome.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And then really newer to our TAG postal team is James Clausen. So, James, welcome.
Welcome, sir. Thank you. Hey, appreciate you.
Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? I know, Rachel, you've been here for a little while. James, I know you've actually been in the business a while. But just tell us a little bit about yourselves, and then we'll get into some discussions about, hey, what are we doing in the Army for postal and voting this year?
Sure. Well, I'll go first. I'm Rachel Gilman. I'm the Army Voting Action Officer. I was a military spouse for 30 years. So I have a lot of time moving around with my family. And I have been the Army Voting Action Officer here at HRC for 14 years. So I love my job. I love every day waking up and being able to talk about Army voting.
Yeah, and the passion like oozes out of you at any given
time. It does, right. It does, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, thanks, awesome. Go ahead, James.
Well, I've been to HRC, I just got here last month. I'm coming from U.S. Army Europe, where I was the postal specialist overseeing postal policy and guidance for the USERAF Theater.
Yeah.
So part of the, my postal background is I was in the Air Force for 20 years, so did that for 20 years and then came into the Army and for 5 years now, and just happy to be here, happy to get postal policy and guidance out to the field and be a member of the team of HRC.
And you're super happy to be on this podcast, I can tell.
Yes.
Yeah. No, we're really glad that we were able to get you on the team here. And I know USERA's probably a little sad that we bilked you, but I think it's good for the Army overall. And for those that don't know, right, a lot of people know that we have oversight over kind of voting policy for the Army and then the execution of the plan. Not all the time do people understand that TAG also has oversight of Army postal policy.
Yes, sir.
I have a dual hat, as you both know. I'm the Military Postal Service Agency Executive Director. And so I also have that DOD role. So not only do I oversee the policy with you, James, here at the TAG, but I also am the DOD postal guy. So sometimes that's exciting, but at the same time, what's really resonated with me over the last couple of years is the passion of our postal folks all over the place across the Army landscape, but also DOD landscape and overseas in particular. But today we're going to talk kind of, hey, what are we doing for voting as well?
Yeah, it's coming.
And so why don't you walk us through some of the stuff you're doing right now, Rachel, as we kind of work through the 2024 voting plan?
Absolutely. So I actually am a liaison between the Army and the Federal Voting Assistance Program, and they're the DOD component for voting for all of the services. So in that role, I'm responsible for managing the program, making sure that installations worldwide have an installation voting assistance office. We call the folks that are working in those IVAOs, installation voting assistance officers. And then we also have oversight over unit voting assistance officers. And they are assigned from the tip top of commands all the way down to the unit and the company level.
Yeah, that seems like a lot of moving parts.
It is. It's a lot of moving parts, but it's a great mission, and it's really important.
Yeah.
So we just make sure that they're appointed, that they're trained, that they're ready to assist voters if, you know, somebody comes to them and needs information, they're able to assist them with being able to cast their ballot.
Yeah, that seems the key, right? I kind of see you in this pole position of, you know, you're helping to orchestrate folks to get to the right information so they understand, you know, hey, how do you do this voting thing?
Exactly. It's a big program, and each of the different 50 states, they all have their own deadlines,
right,
registration requirements, and so it's really important that we are able to communicate all of that information out to the field, especially for soldiers who are deployed.
Right.
And we really need to make sure that if anybody wants to vote in the election, that they're able to do that.
Yeah, that's it's definitely an important mission.
It is.
And you know, as we lead up to November, right, our main point is to get that information out to folks so they can engage if they're wanting to, and you know.
Absolutely, we do not force anyone to vote.
Right.
We are a bipartisan program, so we are an awareness and for assistance, and we just want that if a service member needs help, they know where to go to be able
yeah.
to find it.
Yeah, and you said that what I think is one of the biggest keys. Hey, every state's a little different.
Yes.
So you actually got to know, hey, okay, what state am I voting in, and then watch the specifics and the times, et cetera, for those states, because they're just all different.
Exactly. And one of the great tools that we have is the Federal Voting Assistance Program website. They have a voting wizard where folks can go and, if they're an absentee voter, click on their state, and it immediately pulls up all of the information for their state, the deadlines, mailing address, and point of contact information if they still need more information.
What's the website, Rachel?
The website is www.fvap.gov.
Okay.
And I know that they'll put that down in the comment section.
Yeah,
as
absolutely.
A link.
Yep. Pretty simple, fvap.gov.
Yes.
Got it. Awesome. So James, how does the postal stuff plug into this?
So we just actually published MPSA, published the voting certification training on our automated military postal system.
Yeah.
That's the portal where all postal employees conduct business. So,
yeah.
And then for each APO, or military post office overseas, we mandate that we designate at least two personnel, postal employees, their postal clerks, to first of all, be designated
right.
as postal voting representatives for the post office. They're going to be in charge of accounting for the ballots.
Yeah.
They need to go on to this website, Automated Military Postal System, accomplish the voting certification training, and then they're going to be trained up and ready to go to any ballot that comes into the post office, every single ballot, I should say. That is received, delivered, returned, forwarded, it's going to be accounted for in the AMPS portal, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. And for me, thinking about mail, I know my guidance was, hey, we just need to be hyper vigilant in the tracking of all the ballots as they move kind of, you know, through the system. And the kind of the 2024 voting plan is set, and then really the postal plan is set as well. What do you foresee? I know we've had a pretty good track record of doing a really good job tracking in previous elections and previous cycles. What do you think the biggest friction is as we go towards the end of 2024?
Well, first we'll confirm transit times.
Yeah.
With all our APOs, every location is different. We've got some sites that are really off the grid.
Yeah. You know. Right.
Not next to Frankfurt, mail facility,
mm-hmm.
transport facility. So some locations take longer, and we just have to account for that. So we reach out to the postmasters at every location.
Yeah.
We confirm with their postal MACOMs. You know, if it's taken 8 days for normal mail, first class mail to get there, or if it's taken 14 days, how long? So then we know, we get that information to MPSA. MPSA broadcasts that. Broadcasts out to DOD, and then their postmasters at each location can notify their customers exactly how long they need to, you know, before they, if they want to send their voter registration cards into, their election offices, how much time they're going to need.
Yeah.
And then once they the election offices receive those, they can, you know, they'll have enough time to get their ballots.
Yeah. No, I think for me, it's just that. It's like, hey, there's a lot of operational stuff going on in the Army, where we got people in Poland, we got people in the Middle East, we got people out in islands in the Pacific doing, you know, different things, exercises, deployments, rotations, right? Folks are still doing rotations in different areas for units. As I think through that, it's like, it's really broadcast into our G1s out there and our S1s that they really got to pay attention to the timelines and be able to amplify the message in these two plans. So while you're focused on, hey, making sure, and NPSA is making sure that postal employees are trained, ready to focus on ballots, as well as track it really well, it's really also a G1, S1's responsibility to get that information out on timelines, et cetera. And it's a little more tricky when you're moving operationally downrange. And so we're really, really focused on making sure they understand. Part of this Tag Talks is that, hey, we're really messaging that those key folks in S1s and G1s to plug in to these plans and make sure we're talking as much as we can.
Absolutely.
What do you see? I think we're off to a good start. What's to come, Rachel, for 2024? I mean, we're in April already, or actually we're moving into May. So what do you see for the rest of this cycle here?
So I think that the plan is working really well, and we have a lot of unit voting assistance officers assigned, and they're already trained. And I believe that one of the key things will be that service members, they register and request their ballot.
Yeah.
And then once they have registered and requested their ballot, 45 days before the election, that'll be in September, they need to start looking for their ballot. Mm-hmm. And so they will know when their ballot arrives, they can print it out, fill it out, sign it, and then return it back.
Yeah.
And that's probably one of the things that we really need to focus on.
Yeah.
Is getting the word out.
Yeah.
That, you know, just because you registered and requested a ballot, you need to start looking for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then fill it out. Yeah. And then send it back.
And you can request now? Is that wide open right now?
Yes. Every state will allow you to complete a federal postcard application and let them know that you're interested in voting in the upcoming election. And so that's the form that you need to use to register and request a ballot.
Yeah.
The other thing that we need to think about is what happens in the summertime. Everybody's moving.
Yeah, right.
So you want to make sure that when you get to your new location, that you let your election official know.
Really important.
Yes, it's really important so that your ballot can find you.
Yeah.
And do you want your ballot to come to you in the mail?
Yeah.
Do you want it to come, you know, via through your email address?
Yeah.
And so it's really important that we remember that once we move, we need to follow up if we're interested
in
voting.
I'm in that boat, right? So I'm here in Kentucky.
We'll get you taken care of.
I'm here in Kentucky, but I'm moving, you know, to Virginia. No shocker if you're tracking some of the HR movements in the Army. But
yes.
I'm in the same boat. So
yes.
I actually had to just change my address as well, my forwarding address. So
that's right.
Just to piggyback off of what you said. You can go on at USPS.com, anybody who's moving, and just, you know, fill out your change of address form online.
Yeah.
So it's pretty simple.
And you were living, where were you living over in Europe?
I was in Germany, sir. Wiesbaden, Germany.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Nice.
So
Wiesbaden.
Any mail, the USPS management address system will actually recognize any mail that, once you fill out that online form, it's an online directory. So if you have any mail that's going to be addressed, if your election office is going to send something to your CMR APO address, and you've already sent that forwarding address to USPS.com, then the directory will actually automatically reroute that to your new forwarding address. So it won't even go to Germany. It'll just go straight to your new stateside address or wherever your new address is.
Yeah, so. No, that's good to know. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, I know you guys are passionate, but maybe you talk a little bit about what excites you so much about voting and postal. James, we'll start with you. What is so exciting about postal? I before you jump on that, I tend to explain to people that little do they know how passionate, like, you know, postal people are. like about the business, about getting it done, about never stopping, you know, that whole rain, sleet, you know, snow kind of thing that we grow up with. You know, most postal folks still wear shoes, right? You know, I hear those old, you know, walking through snow with no shoes, we still get the mail done.
Yes, sir.
We're wearing shoes today, but, you know, maybe talk a little bit about what drives your passion for this.
Just when I first started working at an APO, that's all I think about. I go back to my first APO experiences, starting as an E1, E2, E3, and just dealing with the customers on a daily basis and seeing how it affects people when, you know, their mail is, when they have issues, and when you're able to resolve issues for them and you're able to, you know, accomplish the postal mission at a very excellent rate.
Yeah.
And folks, they show their appreciation.
Yeah.
Most folks do.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it makes me feel good, honestly. It makes most people feel good. So, and then, you know, where I'm at now, you know, coming up the ranks and being able to help the postal employees now when they have policy concerns or any questions, any problems, and they address those issues to us, and we're able to help them out, and then they show their appreciation as well. So it's a full turn thing. So
yeah, you know. I'm with you. You know, little fun fact on me. I mean, my first week in college, I had no money, and I went and got a job at the campus mailroom because they were paying okay, and that's where I was exposed to, you know, at least executing the mail on a daily basis. But to your point, I mean, I would drop mail off to different departments and people would be pretty excited. Not all the time, but yeah, generally they'd be pretty excited. So I kind of caught the bug a little bit there. And in my career, I've done a lot of postal jobs. So I've been a postal platoon leader, I've been a postal company commander, and then have done mail each of my three deployments. So
nowadays, it's how people do most of their shopping. So
yeah,
they're spending their money.
Yeah,
you know, their hard-earned money. So
yeah. Well, you know, I get into some discussions with folks about, you know, well, there's email and you got FaceTime, and it's like, yeah, but when you send a package to someone in Syria, you know, or overseas, and it's like stuff from the heart. It actually still means as much as it always has.
And, yes, sir.
You know, and it equals that morale boost. You know, there's lots of photos, even online, if you go look at TikTok, people opening packages, you know, that are overseas.
Especially during Christmas holidays, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Or different places. Mm-hmm. So what's driving your passion, Rachel? I mean, you've been in this business a while.
I have. I think still the best thing for me is when I have a unit voting assistance officer contact me and say, hey, I want you to know I helped this soldier. It's the first time he's, you know, voting, and I was able to help him. And I love those stories. And then I also love when I have someone who's been in the service for a really long time, and, you know, they say, hey, you know, I first started voting absentee, you know, when I was, you know, a lieutenant or, you know, a sergeant or specialist, and, you know, now I, you know, I've developed this relationship with my local, you know, election official, and I know who they are, and they know who I am, and, you know, those kinds of things, knowing that it does make an impact, and they take it along with them, you know, through the rest of their careers.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the cool things being in a democracy is you get to vote, right?
So absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think that oozes from you, right? You know, as you usher, you know, the oversight of this program. But hey, I think we're close to the end here. Is there anything you wanna kind of highlight here before we call it quits on this podcast?
I would just say, if you're interested and you're thinking about voting in the 2024 elections, please look for your deadlines and contact your unit voting assistance officer if you need help, or go to the FFAP website.
Yeah. And then, you know, I'll just underline, hey, every unit has a rep.
Absolutely.
Right. So there's a voting rep in each of the units. So you can you can hit them up for information, or just go to that fvap.gov. There you go. See, I memorized it. James, what do you got here at the end?
Last thing I want to say, sir, I would just add that the when the folks get their ballots at their APOs or when they bring them to the post office, this is more for like folks overseas at our military post offices. When they drop them off, Just be sure to get that receipt from the postal clerk. There's a 11 label 11 DOD that's going to be affixed to the ballot, and then a partial receipt will be given back to the customer. They can go online to USPS.com tracking and track that that ballot from the point it is dispatched from their APO all the way to Chicago or to their actual election office to the day that it's actually delivered.
Yeah, super helpful, right? You can actually track it all the way in.
Yes, sir.
Validates, hey, what's going on.
And it should only take 3 days because it's going to express mail.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. If you're in the middle of, you know, Syria, maybe it takes a couple extra days.
Right? Yes. That would take a front, yes.
Or on a ship, you know, I mean, for MPSA, I also help oversee those that, you know, or whatever, in the Air Force, in the Navy, all over the place, Marine Corps, et cetera. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, and you know, for me, telling folks out in the field or in the Army, wherever they're at, it's hey, we got a good program, we got a good plan. It's been in place. Obviously, you're two fantastic folks, kind of ushering the top of the program. So I think we got things in line. We just need to talk a little more, get the information out, and then. And really important for those listeners, if there's questions, hey, you can also engage, with Rachel and James at this level if needed. Information are on our websites at the HRC and the Adjutant General. We'll also post some more information on our socials. So please follow us at the Adjutant General on all your sites and looking forward to talking to you here in a few. Thanks, folks.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.